Okay, how many of you guys, honestly, have you been here when Matt's taught before? In most everybody, yeah. There's like really, I was gonna say, there's no need to really introduce Matt. It's just, it gives me one more opportunity to mock and ridicule him. But I'm excited. We're consistently lowering the bar. That's our motto. Take it down another notch. Take it down a notch if you can. No, Matt is awesome. Last night we had a chance to hang out and talk, and I so look forward to these times. If every time Matt comes in town, I usually get on the phone and I call people up and I'm like, hey, come over, hang out, we'll have a fire. Sometimes we sit on the fire. Last night it was cold, so we sat inside and we went out, you know, grabbed some people and went out to Qdoba. But I just try to get people to come and hang out with Matt because I so enjoy times of just friendship sitting around and what the spiritual journey that Matt's been on. And I know that he shared a lot of that over the last couple of years as he's been here and talked. And it, I think in a lot of ways it parallels the journey that I've been on and some of us at Dialogue have been on. And it's just so beautiful to see what God is doing in the lives of other people and how that can enrich all of us as we kind of intermingle and share it together. And so Matt called a week about, it was really not long ago, it was like a week ago, and said, hey, I've been listening to the podcast. And I'm like, oh, dude, you're the one. So that's awesome. And as I was wondering who subscribed, and I thought it was Mom, but it was actually Matt. So thanks, Mom. But no, anyway, she's not even in here. I need to just shut up and let Matt talk. But and Trudy's like, yes, you do. But anyway, so Matt said he listened to the podcast, and he asked if he could come and speak during this dialogue about Renew. And so I'm like, yeah, you can. You win. Like, every week, you stay the day. And so it worked out today. So help me welcome Matt as he comes up and shares what God's doing.
Oh, sweet mother. How's everybody doing? Doing all right? Feeling good? Awesome. I'm going to get set up here. Slow down here. Yeah, because Ryan and I, you know, we stay in touch and we talk, you know, whenever he decides to pick his phone up and answer it. So, you know, once a year or so. Anyway, so we talk about stuff and I'd recently had a pretty substantial experience in my spiritual journey or walk of faith, whatever you'd like to call it. And so we were kind of talking about that and you know, maybe coming in and speaking about that sometime in the future. But yeah, as I subscribe to the podcast, which I love, and I feel like I, you know, get a little more of the heartbeat of this place on a regular basis, something came to mind that is very important to me, and I find very valuable in my spiritual walk and in my everyday, you know, type of stuff that maybe is normally not considered spiritual. And the idea, or the title here, I forgot to print it, so I'm going to have to put it on off the iPad. The idea is being content without being static, without feeling stagnant, or whatever word you want to use there, complacent, because as you guys are talking about this renewal and starting over and this new Genesis, this new life, moving past your past, it can become something where you feel like you've constantly got to push, like you've constantly got to, you know, be moving forward in your journey, and there's something that I need to do, and there's somewhere I need to go, and there's people I need to talk to in order to achieve that. And a lot of times, we as people just start, you know, moving, and the momentum builds, and we start getting busier and busier, and we think we need to pick up, you know, the latest book or the latest, you know, teaching or music from someone to kind of keep juiced up, I guess. And there's something about that that, looking back, I now realize that it was like really hard on me. And it was something that is very subtle in our lives because we're not consciously taking stock of what we're doing in that way. And throughout Scripture, many of the authors talk about examining your life. And that's kind of along the lines of what I really want to talk about this morning. I looked up content, the definition, and here it is. To be content is to be satisfied with what one has and who one is. It means not wanting more or anything else. So how can we come to a place where we are happy with the way things are, with who we are, with who our family members are, you know, our work, place, environment, be happy and content without stopping growth? You know, I want to be happy where I'm at on my journey and my understanding and lack of understanding when it comes to God. I'm happy with that. But there are things that I do to push forward, to continue learning. Every decision we make is another attempt to attain this satisfaction for our soul. And it's extremely tricky, right? It's hard to find this contentment. It's hard to find this satisfaction, this feeling of everything's okay as it is right now. Not everything's perfect. Not everything is the way we want it to be. And maybe we have goals and dreams, but right now, I'm content. I'm happy with the way things are. And I think I know it's difficult, especially here in America, and having been to several third world countries and out in the, you know, rural areas, they don't have commercials and billboards screaming at them constantly. You know, Volkswagen, I just saw a commercial yesterday, and their little tagline was, "Be happy," insinuating that I'm not happy unless I own this car, you know. And so when we don't know what to do to feel content, we go to what's natural, and we look around, and we look at our neighbors, the people in the seats, you know, beside us, and try and determine, you know, what's making them happy, what is satisfying them, because maybe that will be my ticket to this elusive contentment, this place where I feel whole and complete. And, you know, so we start looking around at other people, and we start looking at celebrities, and we see, you know, they're partying on their yachts and all their friends and all that kind of stuff. And we think, yeah, maybe that could be it. And, you know, we see a Diet Pepsi commercial, and apparently drinking Diet Pepsi, you know, will make you like super sexy, and you're going to meet all these other super sexy people, and you're going to do cool, super sexy things. And it's ridiculous, you know, and you start to think about some of the things that are being told to us by these genius marketing gurus to try and get us to buy their product or buy into their idea. And that's their job, and that's fine. But it's difficult to kind of go to that place where we don't feel the draw of those things. We don't look at our neighbor and feel the draw to have, you know, more money or more status in our job, whatever it may be. And so that's a difficult place to come. We're being told that we are incomplete, and that's kind of what I was talking about. But I think that is the bottom line message. We're told that something is missing. It's keeping us from being truly content. And we have a tendency sometimes to even do that when it comes to the idea of God. And, you know, we need more of God, and we need salvation, and we need freedom from sins and different things, and what that can become, it just makes God another item on the shelf. It's the product that will make you happy. It will make you content. And I don't know about you, but all these years I have never felt like a completeness. I've never felt a wholeness at any point in my journey. It's like there's always something that, you know, I'm messing up. There's always some glaring flaws that are very evident to me and those people that spend any kind of time around me. And so I keep pursuing, and I think more and more of God, and you lose sight of why you're chasing after this God. God no longer is a person that you want to commune with and you want to spend time with and you want to get to know. We're looking for God to just satisfy this draw, this void that we feel. And I think there's a big difference. There's a transition that happens when you stop living for God and you start to live with God. And living for God is the feeling of, if I do enough, if I, you know, raise my hands and I sing louder, if I go to enough church services, or if I do enough for, you know, social justice type cases, that I'm going to feel this reciprocation of adoration from this God that I believe in, and that will make me feel complete. And so we're missing the point. We're doing all these things with selfish motives many times. And that's what I found for me, that I was really just kind of missing the point. And I think what God was trying to tell me was, there is no void. We feel the void. We feel the experience of lacking because we're told it exists, as if we weren't created whole to begin with. And so we feel that because we're not good enough, because whatever. I mean, it can be any number of things. We are told that we need to strive and do and be this or that. And so we start to feel that. We start to panic it. And I think that coming to terms with you're complete, and maybe you're not everything you'd like to be or that you could be, but that's okay. Right now, who you are, where you're at, learn to see it as enough. That it's not about, because nobody's going to heaven perfect. Nobody is reaching any level of existence where I'm done, right? It's over. Look to me. I'm what you should be. It's ridiculous. And so just relax. Where you're at is okay. You know, if you read your Bible once a week, or, you know, you give to the church, you know, once a month, don't feel the stress to be something that you're not. There's nothing wrong with progression and doing more and being more than what you are right now. But to be more is not the goal. It's to be content. It's to experience God where you're at. It's to experience the people that you work and live around. Because the other way, it's just traffic passing you. You're interacting with people in order to accomplish a goal, to become more so that you can feel whole. And so you're missing out on all these little things, these things that make this life worth living. Life should be more than the accumulation of possessions or stature or fame. And having that idea of prioritizing the filling of this void that supposedly exists, that's what that creates, I believe. It creates this drive in us to just move, get more, and it's a vicious cycle because it never ends. I mean, you see celebrities that are committing suicide, and they've got all the fame, they've got all the wealth. What makes us think that if we had all that, and we had the big house, that we would feel differently? It's about the mentality that we have that helps us with that. And so I have some very practical things too. So if you want to take notes, or I guess you can listen to the podcast, but so everybody subscribe so that you can hear Ryan and Mike and the team on a weekly basis, like me. It has been my experience that this quest to be content requires us to evaluate everything. Because making choices without evaluation, it's like painting in the dark. You're probably going to get something on a canvas, but it's probably not going to be what you wanted, right? We need to take an evaluation of who we are, what our priorities, our needs, and our wants. And I think that we need to redefine the words need and what are the difference between what I actually physically need and what I want. Because this is the engine. This is the life. This is the soul of everything that pushes us. This is what we do when we make decisions. So I've got a couple. These are just my categories. You have your basic life-sustaining, which is sleep, air, food, water, you know, okay. Those are needs. You have these other things, life-altering. They could be books, music, hiking in, you know, the woods, whatever. Whatever it is for you that ignites passion and brings joy, all those kind of things. And then there's also life-altering, which can be some of any of those things that truly transforms, you know, maybe there's a specific author. Donald Miller, for me, has been one of my favorites, and there's always, you know, something that, you know, he talks about. So for me, that would be something like that. When we talk about priorities, we're talking about desires, and desires can be a sensitive, a touchy thing, because there are a lot of things that we desire that maybe we don't want to admit that we desire. And there are probably a lot of things that we desire because we want the desire of other people. Does that make sense? We desire to have or be something, not for the something, but so that someone else will see us and they will like us or envy us or whatever it may be. You know, we desire their desire. And so that's why we try and, you know, be a certain person or like, you know, the cool music, you know, go to the hip places or whatever. We don't go because we actually want to go. We want to go so that other people hear that we were there or see us there. And so when we start talking about motives, when we start talking about priorities and desires, it can get messy. And so this is something that you and I really have to do. I do this evaluation once a year. It's on my calendar, and it just shows up, and I have a list of about 50, 60 questions, I think it is, that I go through and I answer every year. And I try and take stock, I try and take an evaluation of my choices, my decisions. And it helps me to give pause, take accountability for the things that I've done, to think about maybe people that I've offended or hurt, ignored, whatever the case may be. And so the questions are designed, you know, by me, for me, to look at all the areas. So it's like my immediate family, my wife, and now I've got, you know, kid with another one on the way. So they will be incorporated. And then it branches out to, I have, you know, my high school friends that I'm still real close with, different people that I interact with at work. So there's all these things, and I'll give you some examples as we go on here. But one thing that I would really like to encourage you to do is if you choose to do this, if you choose to evaluate yourself, be honest, okay? Because it is very easy to lie to ourselves and tell us you don't want to make more money. If you do, put it down. My desire is to have more money, but then ask, why do I want more money? Is it because maybe you're struggling? Maybe, you know, it's hard, you know, to pay the rent or whatever. I've been there, so it makes more sense to desire it. Is it so I can, you know, wear cooler clothes, buy a nicer car, whatever it may be? And then look at those things and start to rank them, okay? Is this the most important thing?
I'll tell you a story real quick.
When my wife was pregnant with our first child, Maggie, we went to one of those hellish all-day birthing classes, right? And we're going through all the things, and you know, the ladies are very nice, and it's just kind of like, couldn't I have learned this online or something? Sit here for 8 hours on end. It was brutal. And they had us do something like this, and we had all these different things that we had to, like, write down, you know, what you wanted for the birth. You know, you want, you know, everybody to be happy and healthy, you know, drugs, you know, no drugs. And so she had all these questions, and you have all these answers, and the instructor then had you whittle down, okay, you know, if you have to get rid of one, get rid of it. And the idea was to bring everybody to the end, and she said, now, what does everybody have left? And everybody else, you know, says, have a, you know, happy, healthy baby. And I yelled drugs, because I knew that was very important to my wife, to not feel pain. But that's kind of the goal. I mean, you take this list and you rank those things, and then if you're going to do this, what I would highly suggest is for 1 week at least, keep stock of how you spend your time. Keep a diary. You know, you get up in the morning, if you have like your normal routine, brush your teeth, shower, you know, just kind of, you know, get ready 20 minutes. You know, if you sit down and you watch some TV, eat some breakfast, whatever your day looks like, you go to work, you know, 8 hours, 10 hours, whatever it is, because nothing reveals our priorities more than how we spend our time. So once we start writing that stuff down, it becomes very obvious where we spend our time and what we value. Okay? And so here are some of the things. And also too, if you live, if you're living with a partner, you're married, you have a family, do this together. And do it together in the sense that you each do it and then come together. Because a lot of times what you find, and some of the people that I've met, couples, and we'll sit down, we'll talk about things, is she's got one goal, and she's prioritizing these three things. He's over here in La La Land prioritizing these three things. And so what do you have? You have this clash, and you can't understand why you can't get on the same page. Well, he's all about this, and she's all about that. It's you're working against each other. You're fighting each other in why you're doing what you're doing. So it's important to communicate those things with the person that you're with. And even if your kids are old enough, do that with them and find out what is important to them and see how that funnels into the family goal. So that stuff's very helpful. I found it to be very helpful. Okay, here's some of the questions. Look at what you're doing that you excel at. Think about your life, think about your hobbies, your passions. Maybe it's actually your job, if you're one of those lucky people that you're passionate about your job. I hate my job. My job is mind-numbing. Terribly, terribly mind-numbing. It's so boring and it's so repetitive, it's terrible. But I do it, and it's important because it, you know, pays the bills and takes care of the financial needs that we have and all that kind of stuff. Ask yourself, is it creating a brighter future for me, my wife, my kids, whatever goes in there? And look at what you're doing. What am I doing that's failing? Are those things that I'm failing at, are they keeping me from being successful in other areas? Am I wasting too much time, you know, making sure my lawn and my, what do they call that stuff? Landscaping, you know. Do you spend a lot of time on that, but, you know, because of that, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I don't spend any time with my kids. And your priorities might need to be rearranged, you know, if you're not being there for your family or doing something like that. So that would be what I would consider that. Can I make adjustments to my life to spend more time in my strengths than my weaknesses or my failures? List those things. List the things that bring you no joy whatsoever, but that you have to do, okay? And maybe you can split those. If you're married, split them up, okay? I do my own laundry. I do dishes. I help clean, all those kind of things. I hate it. It's terrible, but we split those because we both hate them. So there's things like that and how you spend your time. Look at the last year or however, you know, you're going to do this. Ask yourself, what are the three or two biggest regrets that you have? Maybe it was an interaction with someone that you had, or maybe it was not taking an opportunity that was presented to you. And think about this coming year. What would I do now? What am I deciding to do? Because you look at your motivations and you look at the things you did, you look at the things that you didn't do. And were they good choices? Were they bad choices? Why? Evaluate, think about why you do the things that you do. Because you've all heard it, like insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And if you don't evaluate, if you don't take stock of your decision-making process, then God is going to remain the same God. And your relationship with your spouse and your friends is going to remain the same. It's never going to be better. And you're going to live in the same place It's nice. That was Wes, by the way. Just everyone listening, that's Wes. So I just want to present you with this idea that contentment is not about obtaining. It's not even about doing more for God. Okay? It's you will never be satisfied in doing more for God. You can rest knowing that you're accepted the way that you are. Your very existence is why God created you. He wanted to be with you. He wanted to spend time with us. And so learn to live there, but it doesn't mean that you just stop doing anything or stop, you know, giving or doing. But those things have to have a different motivation behind them in order to bring the kind of value and the contentment that we look for as people. Think about the things. Here's some more questions. Look at what is out of your control. A lot of times we spend too much energy on things that we have no ability to influence whatsoever. And we get frustrated by those things. We get angry. And so that affects everything else in our life, right? And so let's look at those things. Let's evaluate what we can control and go, okay, these are the things that I want to work on. These are the things that I want to pursue and do and be, whatever it may be. So those are just a few of the questions. Create your own questions. Come up with questions with your spouse and your family. I want to kind of keep it short because there's a lot to take in when you start thinking about these things. And so I don't want it to be, you know, too heavy of a thing or anything like that. But we were designed, we were created to experience the presence of God, I believe, in every moment, no matter where you're at. You're in a gym, you're out in nature, you're at work standing in front of, you know, my stupid saw, and whatever it may be. But because we feel like we're not complete, I think that that is the source behind everything, because we're striving, we're always looking beyond where God already is. And so we miss out on all these things. And that's what makes a place like this so valuable. That's why you come here, is because they help you, you know, through Ryan and the team, they help you kind of take a moment. You know, we're going to play some music, we're going to talk about this kind of stuff, and we focus. And then it's like all of a sudden, you think God showed up. No, you showed up. You remove the distractions. You stop thinking about, I need to do this and try and get this side job so I can make some more money. And so you forget about everything else. And it's that moment where you just kind of breathe, and who you are, where you're at that moment is all you need. And that's when we experience God, when we can have that contentment and we're not always looking, because, you know, more of God is, you know, he's not like, just like shelling out little pieces. He's just here. He's everywhere all the time. And whether we experience him is whether or not, you know, we're calm enough in here to hear and to feel. You have to be at rest in here to have everything else kind of domino, to be right. It's like a single person, you know, like the girls that think they, you know, just got to get married and they got to get, you know, get that husband and everything's going to be right. If you're not happy single, you're probably not going to be happy married, you know. I don't believe in, you know, the one. I don't personally believe that, you know, my wife is amazing. But I don't look to her and expect her to make me happy. We enjoy life together, and we butt heads, and we fight, and you have that kind of stuff when you live with someone, you know, and it's fine. But I do not rely on her. I don't rely on my children to satisfy me. I've got to be here so that I can be with them, and just, because then otherwise I'm just using them. You're using the car, you're using the husband, whatever it is, to try and obtain this. And so that's why I'm saying, don't do that to God either. let things be. Be content, be satisfied with where you're at, but that doesn't mean that we just let everything go. There's no reason, no excuse not to pursue. I still like to read, I still like to, you know, listen to, books on tape or music, things that inspire me, watch movies. So I just wanted to encourage you guys and know that who you are is enough to God. It should be to you. It's not about trying to be, you know, Jesus boy or anything like that, super Christian. It's not about obtaining knowledge and being real, you know, smart and theological. That's all crap. After talking about it for years and years, that's all it is. I enjoy talking about it, but it's just crap because we don't know. We're trying to know, and we're not, but we're trying to be. And so I know this is an environment where, if anywhere, you are experiencing acceptance for who you are. I love that about this place. So, if anybody wants to share. I would probably be under the, have the opinion that God has no expectation of us. That, you know, we're not created, you know, to, I mean, it would be pretty egotistical of God to have created us so we could do and be for him. I mean, you have to have some sort of, like, low self-esteem to create people to need you, right, to feel wanted. I think that it was probably the other way around. He created us so that he could love us, that it wasn't about trying to get something from us as much as it was to just wanting to create something and reveal the beauty of who God is, you know, himself to herself to us. I would say that's not how I would understand Scripture to interpret God. Anybody else? I have no answers, but I'll give opinions. They're free. Well, it was a lot of... I'll need that. It was a lot of just, as I dug, it was like, okay, well, I really want this, but why do I want it? You know, I in my nature, I tend to ask a lot of why, and it's extremely painful. It's extremely annoying to me and to my wife. You want to go there? Why? Why? Everything is why. So I'm expecting that from my children and a little bit of retribution from the big guy. But yeah, it was just kind of, okay, and when you write them down, you can't hide from them, okay? And then set reminders to, you know, spend 10 minutes, write a few questions, maybe throw them out then later on, because you're going to have to take, you know, life changes into consideration, you know, to, you know, being young, you know, to moving on to college, and then maybe you get married, or maybe you get divorced, or maybe you move to a new town, new job. All these things are going to, you know, need you to redirect and to go, okay, well, this is where I'm not now. You know, it's not where I was. So these questions maybe don't apply so much, or whatever it may be. And so I just started writing questions down and try, because I had to pull it out of me, you know, to get myself to face my true opinions and all that kind of stuff, to get myself to be honest. Well, okay, I'm doing this, but I really only do it like once a month when I'm thinking, you know, it's a good amount of time. It's not what I want it to be. I want it to be more often, you know, the time that, you know, I focus on my wife or do something nice for her. Well, I was being pretty crappy as far as just going about every day. So that's not who I wanted to be. And so that comes into a part of it too. So then you just slowly fade those things in, but learn that it's not like, okay, now I gotta, you know, you're not creating a checklist of everything so you can try and change it all one day, but it's about understanding who we are and doing the things that we're doing because.
God, you're mad, or God, you're angry, or I'm not enough in some way, but with a sense, it just says, God, in all that I am, I want to be all that you've dreamed me to be. And recognizing that God loves you just as you are, with that sense of fulfillment, but just saying, God, but let me move into a more better and more beautiful version of myself. And so maybe we just take a moment in reflection, and allow that transformation, that renewal, to happen inside of your soul. Heavenly Father, God, we come to you this morning and we lay ourselves before you, God, as an offering. And even though we seem to ourselves to be sometimes just feeble and weak, and we look at ourselves and we see our weakness and we see failure, and we sometimes feel frustrated in our own lack of growth, and we feel this just maybe that we're not enough. Today, God, would you fill us with a sense of your amazing and overwhelming love for us. God, fill us today with the knowledge and a sense of contentment that we are always already accepted by you and that you love us just where we are. And Lord, may that be the energy and may that be the motivation that moves us into the beautiful life that you've dreamed and imagined for us. And God, we thank you for that. Lord, as we continue on the journey of being renewed, of unleashing the power of new creation in our life, of moving past our failures, moving past our mistakes, and moving past our past, would you walk with us and imbue every moment with a conscious knowledge of your presence and of your love, and may we always recognize that you are with us. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys, for coming. We'll see you guys next week. Peace.